去关注他然后So one of the questions is, Dear Bhante, how do we use the Brahma Vihara practice to develop insight?
Yeah, that is possible. Basically, at the beginning, I mean, as a way of keeping your mind in the middle, say for example, while your mind is angry, it is difficult to practice anapanasati, or it is difficult to practice in most of these satipatthana. But if you are able to maintain your mind in the middle, not angry, not attached, or not angry, not lustful, so you have the kind of equanimity. So there the Brahma Viharas are quite important. Say for example, your mind is angry, your mind is resistive, your mind is in a resentment. So on such situation, you better practice metta or mudita, loving kindness, or sort of what you call this joy. And then again, mind become pleasant. Mind become fairly equanimous. And that is a sort of a positive quality, positive state of mind. So with that positive state of mind, it is easy to practice anapanasati or easy to practice other satipatthana techniques. So that is one aspect. And on the other hand, when one's fairly developed satipatthana, there also you can incorporate Brahma Vihara, but in a different manner. So there actually you are not trying to incorporate any kind of self-view or sort of individuality into the practice. Rather, you are doing it as a quality. What I'm trying to tell here is, the Satipatthana practice leads us to a very profound understanding about causality, and again about non-self, impermanent nature. So now again, if you practice typical loving kindness, telling may I be well, may I be say free from suffering, may my father be well, may my father be free from suffering, may my mother be free from suffering, so likewise, then you are again importing this personality. You are again including, imposing this personality. Again, individuality view, the self view is included. So that is wrong. That is actually contradicting with the Satipatthana practice. So that is where you are. If you already develop some amount of what you call this Brahma Viharas, so you know the quality of the Brahma Vihara. So you know the quality of loving kindness. It's a kind of a pervading kind of a quality. So you can spread metta towards every direction to all the beings. And here I use the term beings just to elaborate. I mean, to all the directions you can spread metta. So you have the attitude of metta. You have the loving kindness environment in the mind. You have the sort of joyful environment in the mind. You have a compassionate environment in the mind. And you have the equanimous environment in the mind. So that quality can be incorporated to Satipatthana practice. So that is, in a way, we can say it's a different level of Brahma Viharas. And that is where sort of a Brahma Viharas can be developed to the boundless level, not to the individual level, but to the boundless level. So that is the maximum that one can reach. Sometimes we call as metta cheto vimutti, mudita cheto vimutti, karuna cheto vimutti, upekkha cheto vimutti, where your mind becomes utterly freed from metta, completely freed from metta. Now on such level, there is no any individuality. There is no particular group of people. Rather, your mind is including everything. It's completely spreading metta throughout the whole universe. So this is the kind of boundless type of metta. So such thing actually can be incorporated to Satipatthana. So that is not actually contradicting with Satipatthana, but it is very beautifully mixing with Satipatthana. It's very beautifully harmonizing with Satipatthana, because Satipatthana sometimes become dry. So, but if you include this sort of metta or mudita, then this dryness will be reduced and you can have a very pleasant Satipatthana practice.
Thank you, Bhante. The next question is, developing insights during the Satipatthana practice, is this a natural occurrence or should we proactively facilitate this unfolding?
Yeah, actually, you can't forcefully arouse insights. Rather, you simply can maintain the environment. So the environment or the conducive conditions you can maintain. So that is nothing but you have a very pleasant mind, very simple mind, this unconditioned mind, fairly equanimous mind, and again a fairly focused mind. And you are not borrowing any book knowledge. You are not trying to force the system. You simply have the passive observation. And you are simply witnessing the process with a very quiet mind. You are not, at that time there are no preconceived ideas. At that time there are no any inner chatter. So this is the environment that you need to maintain. So if such environment is maintained, if such mindset is maintained, then the possibility of insights is very high. But on the other hand, if you are so impatient, you want to have this, you want to have that, you want to become enlightened, you want to become a sotapanna, so then it is very difficult. So you have to be maintain a very simple, very innocent, very humble, sort of a very equanimous kind of mind, and then the insights may be highly possible, highly potential.
And the second part of the question is, developing insight knowledges and simple insights, are they different from each other?
Could you repeat the question, Jennifer?
Sure, Bhante. So the question is whether developing insight knowledges and simple insights, are they different from each other?
Yeah, they could be different, and they could be the enhancement of the already arisen insights as well. Say, for example, sometimes suppose you recognize you are observing a certain process and you will understand it's quite impermanent, quite transient. At another time, the same insight might arise, okay, how transient it is. So likewise, I mean, previously it's kind of an eye-opening. Next time also it's sort of a sign of shocking. And then suppose another insight, completely different insight, maybe like say you are thinking as a one unit, as a one thing, and then all of a sudden everything breaks apart. And you will understand there is nothing there, basically broken into particles. The complete compactness, the compactness view, Ganasanya, is completely broken. So likewise, a completely different insight. And again, suppose once you know this whole processes are subjected to arising and passing away, is so fragile, and then again kind of even a fear can arise. So where is I? How can I exist? Because the whole, everything which I thought belongs to me, or I thought as I, is now subjected to complete transience. So how can I exist? So there's even a fear can arise. And and on the other hand, when you know that the arising and passing away nature, and it might lead you to the causality, dependent origination, that's one condition causes another condition. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. So likewise, so if you are able to recognize this conditionality, so those are also insights. So one is different to the other. Say for example, if you are able to recognize how Vedana conditions craving, when there's a pleasurable feeling, there's a craving arises. So this is, if you are able to recognize this very honestly, so then this is another different insight. And suppose you are able to recognize how ignorance causes some sort of a construction in the mind, preparation in the mind. So this is an entirely different insight, but fairly related with the Patisamuppada, avijja paccaya sankhara. So likewise, so it may be different insights, and it may be improvements or enhancements of the same insight.
Thank you, Bhante. And the next question is asking whether Bhante can explain under Kaya Nupassana number 3 through 6.
Yeah, you have to wait 3 more weeks.
Stay tuned. More good things to come.
Yeah.
So we will be patient.
Yes, yes, yes.
For the next question, I'd like to invite Chita Threvi to please ask your question directly.
Thank you. My question, Bhante, is something that I have tried to work out. I have contemplated, and I would like your suggestions on how I can interpret all of it. On one side of our practice, we are trying to lose the concept of self. On the other end, we are having to practice sila, and we have to decide we are going to give this or give that, develop generosity, compassion, karuna, loving kindness, metta, and develop the 4 divine abodes and the 10 paramis. So we have the effort for that. So there is a self there, in my opinion. But at the same time, we are trying to break this sense of self and break it down to the four elements and the atoms and the non-self and the disappearance. And I find that to understand both is a little bit not quite there yet for me. So I would like you to explain that to me a little bit, in the sense that I am veering towards the non-self, trying to meditate, feel all these particles and arising and passing away, all this kind of thing. But at the same time, I have to also create a self. So I would like you to explain that to me with clarity. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, that's a good question. Basically, first of all, we have to establish ourselves on the mundane type of samadhi. So that is called kammasakata samadhi. So that is the first step. So first of all, we need to be a good person, a sappurisa. you are maintaining your morality, you are trying to develop concentration, and you are helping each other, helping others. So likewise, you become a good person. Now you have less regrets, and you have a positive atmosphere in yourself, and you feel encouraged, you feel that you are worthy. I'm a good person. You feel that you are worthy for some further enhancement or further improvement or further attainment. You are a worthy person. So this positive atmosphere is extremely important. So therefore, we can say there's a self, we are making a self in that sense. And that is necessary. And without it, actually, it is difficult to have a lot of courage or a lot of encouragement to the practice. But on the other hand, when we are developing ourselves, especially in the vipassana, the insights are so profound and insights are so powerful. And that sort of helps us to rethink about what is going on and to reflect what is going on. So, and slowly it happens, and more and more these insights are possible. So it will cut off the delusion, it will cut off the ignorance, and this wisdom arising is not so harmful. I mean, if there's a real self, and if that real self going to be destroyed, then it has become a very fearful thing. But if this whole self is an utter illusion, then we will understand, okay, I was ignorant earlier, but now time to time I am having a good wisdom. So what I had was utter ignorance, utter delusion. Because of that, I was making an I was making a self. But now it is at least possible time to time maintain a non-self, time to time maintain a sort of a mere process, dhammata, and simply adhere to it, simply allowing things to happen. And it's a kind of a very beautiful process. And if there is no I, if there is no self-view, still the system may continue. You may not die. And instead, the all the bodily processes, the mental processes may appear or may operate very beautifully in complete harmony without the interference of a self, without the interference of an I. So these insights are really sort of enriching insights. It is not that one becomes utter disappointed or utterly collapsed because of the arising of insights, but they invite you to open up to everything, and you get really connected to the environment, you become a part of the whole universe, and it is not that you become sort of isolated, rather you become connected with everything and everyone, and therefore it is a kind of positive atmosphere is further developed. So therefore it is true that we are making a self, a good self at the beginning, but later with these arising of insights, we are actually brave enough and wise enough to dilute that self, even to give up that self, because we understand that created self is an illusion. Created self happens because of ignorance. So therefore, and it's a gradual process, and various other insights actually help. Say for example, if you clearly know there is nothing a person or individual or self, but rather what is happening is a constant cause and effect relationship. One cause conditions another result. That results become a cause to another result. So that new results become a cause to another result. So likewise, it's a kind of a causal process. So more you understand in that respect, so it's more easy for us to give up the self-view. And then you will understand how a self-view is generated time to time. It is not that constantly you are making a self, but rather time to time the self-view is generated. Self-view is coming up. So you can observe how the self-view is coming up. So then it becomes the vipassana. Now, the self, whenever self-view arises, then there's a kind of a frustration. There's a kind of an unsatisfaction. There's a kind of a burdened mind. So that you can recognize. So then the practice become understanding self-view, understanding how we are making a self-view. So therefore, there are different aspects of the practice which facilitate the diluting of this self-view, or ultimately the eradicating of this self-view.
That's right, Bhante. I understand all of that. But we still have to function
definitely.
As a person.
Exactly.
In this world. This world.
So that's why. So even that's why even the Buddha, the Arahants, they actually function as a person. Now when Buddha is talking to a monk, and he may refer the monk's name, and Buddha may refer that I am telling you, I am preaching you. So he may refer the term I. But he is internally, he is not deluded by that I. He know that he is using the language only for the communication, for easy communication, but there is no core here. There is no real unchanging self here. So as you said, when you are talking with other people, definitely we have to talk in terms of the mundane terms. We have to use our names, our identity card number, social security number, or whatever it is. So we have to use. We have to use the language. So we have to be a person. Say you are in a queue, so you have to be in the queue. So you have to drive the car, you have to obey to the traffic rules. So likewise, so in a way we are living, I mean, two lives.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Because there has to be a person also to make the Adhishtana, the Virya, all this kind of thing.
Yes.
There has to be some entity to say, I'm making this determination now and I'm going to sit for 2 hours or whatever, or I'm going to do the walking meditation. You know, it's not just happening, I believe. It is some kind of Adhishtana that is an effort that goes into that, right?
Actually, the practice itself evolves to a kind of a pace where you do less Adhishtana. Now at the beginning you need a lot of Adhishtana, a lot of determination in order to break off these all say hindrances. But suppose your mind is now fairly peaceful, now less hindrances, then the meditation become part of yourself. So
yeah.
Now
yeah.
you allow things to happen. Now whatever happens, you can adjust to yourself. You can be so flexible and still you can learn and you know how to tackle it. Because now less defilements, less hindrances. And now the whole life is coming on your way, you can handle it. You don't need to struggle with it. Now, in the previous stages, you may have to struggle. You have to fight. But later, so your mind becomes so fragile, so agile. So your mind becomes so malleable, so flexible. And it is with less hindrances. And you can adjust to anything. You are like a water. Say, for example, there's another simile, beautiful simile given by certain teachers. Now, when you are pouring water to any vessel, so water does not ask any particular shape. Rather, it can become that shape. So when it is poured to a cup, it becomes the cup's shape. If it is poured to a bottle, it becomes the bottle's shape. So likewise, so you become very flexible. You can adjust to any environment, still maintaining a non-grasping attitude in the mind. So it's it is easy to say than work.
Yes, Pante. Of course, whatever we are doing is due to causes and conditions. So if you are generous, or if you are compassionate and loving kind, showing loving kindness and karuna, upeka, all these things, that is because of the causes and conditions that are ripened there. Mm-hmm. And it's happening. Right?
Yeah, actually, you do your duty, you do your do it as a good thing, but not, now you are not trying to make a self out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Say, for example, in the previous stages, suppose when you are doing a good thing, suppose you give something to a beggar, and again, that thought may come into your mind, okay, I did a good thing, and he was so happy, and this is not a bad thing. I mean, it is giving you a very good positive quality or positive atmosphere to the mind. But later, even that you can recognize, there's a making of self because of that remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
So there you don't need. So you did the good thing, that's done. Finish. You are now again maintaining a sort of a free mind, unattached mind, without trying to reinforce a self. You are not trying to become anyone.
And I have a Kalyana Mitra who told me, and she said that she has stopped now giving things to people because to avoid that, I did a good thing, that person was happy, and now, you know, I must be creating good karma, that kind of thing. So she has gone beyond, she's quite advanced. So I think that is correct, isn't it? I mean, after a while, we have done all those things and finished. So we have to now concentrate on this training. Would you agree with that, Bhante?
Actually, I partly agree, but there's a part to disagree as well. Now, say, for example, can't you do a good thing without making a self? You can.
Yeah, but sometimes these thoughts come, isn't it?
No, that's right. So that's definitely those thoughts come.
Yes.
And when those thoughts come, you can recognize it. So you can do simple citta anupassana, dhamma anupassana.
Uh-huh.
You can understand, okay, I mean, this is not necessary. You are not promoting that self-view, and you simply let it go. And then again, the mind become peaceful. So it is not that you become very dry person, you sort of maintain a very selfish attitude. Rather, you become still a good person, but you, while engaged in good activities, still you know how to avoid making a self even using those good activities. So therefore, I don't recommend that one become extremely selfish and not doing any of these social service or whatever things. But on the other hand, there's another side. You are not driven by inner motives to do it. Rather, if there is an opportunity, if the requirement is there, you may do. But you are not trying to show off, or if you are not trying to jump to the picture. Rather, there's a real requirement is there, and the opportunity has come directly to you. There is no any substitution. Then you understand, okay, this is my responsibility. then you do it wholeheartedly. And after
no,
the
that's
end,
what she does. Yeah. Okay, she does all for her domestic people, and now she's helping all the time. But now she has changed, shifted a little bit, so I can see what you're saying, and I can hear what she's saying also.
Right, right. Okay.
Right, Bhante. Thank you so much for that. Anyway, much merit.
Teruvan Sarnai.
Okay, Bhante. The last question that I received, while doing Iriyapada Bhavana, for example, on the sitting posture, after a while the breathing becomes prominent and the meditation turns to Anapanasati. Is this okay?
I didn't get you. Jennifer, can you repeat it?
Sure, no problem, Bhante. While doing Iriyapada Bhavana.
Right, Iriyapada. Yes. Right. I missed that term.
Sorry, it is my pronunciation.
Right. Yes, you are correct. You are correct. Actually, these methods can be interconnected. Say, for example, you start with Iriyapada, and once you are refining these various postures, and then suppose you are getting to rising and falling, or suppose you are getting to breathing meditation, and it is possible, then you are in the Anapanasati. True. Correct.
Okay. And looks like we have one more raised hand from Kumudini.
My question, it is not really a question. I just wanted to make an addition to that lady's discussion with you about the self.
Mm-hmm.
It brought to my mind that, you know, you could use it as the simile of the raft that is used to cross the river.
Yes,
we have the sense of self, but it after you've reached a certain stage, you just discard it.
That's also a good answer. Actually, there's a beautiful incident happened between Venerable Ananda and another bhikkhuni. At that time, Venerable Ananda mentions, Tanha nissaya tanha pahatabbu. Manang nissaya manang pahatabbu. So you are using craving in order to eradicate or remove craving. And you are using conceit in order to remove conceit. So likewise, now say for example, he is giving very beautiful simile. Say you have heard that someone has become a sotapan. And you yourself start a kind of a desire to become a sotapan. Now this is a kind of a self-view.
Mm-hmm.
But this self-view motivates you to achieve it.
Exactly.
So ultimately, you are removing the self view. That is only then only you become a sotapanna. But the initial drive is taken by this self view.
Yes.
Yeah. So therefore, it is.
I don't think you need to worry too much about it while you're.
Yeah. Basically, it is diluting. So the self view will become sort of slowly diluting, eroding. Fading away, and the wisdom becomes more and more powerful, and that is how the process happened as far as we can see.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante, for the Q&A today. That is all of the questions that we've received.
Yeah. Okay, then thank you very much for the participation, and we'll conclude the session by sharing merits. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika puññantaṃ anumoditvā ciraṃ rakkhantu mam paraṃ idaṃ vo ñātīnaṃ hotu sukhitā huntu ñātayo idaṃ vo ñātīnaṃ hotu sukhitā huntu ñātayo idaṃ vo ñātīnaṃ hotu sukhitā huntu ñātayo ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤකම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤකම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤකම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා සාදු සාදු සාදු